Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is news shoe time. Welcome back, everybody. We are in uncharted territory. We have surpassed the 36th chamber. We're out of it, and now we're into a brave new world, Ben.
I guess that's a way of putting it. So we have passed the woo, and we have moved on to other parts of California now.
There you go.
With the music scene.
We've moved on to bigger and better things. Not that, you know, I'd never fuck with the Wu-Tang Clan, but I think we're on to bigger and better things, Ben.
That we are indeed. I think that's something we can come to as a general consensus, and that our audience can come to.
Indeed. So, well, Ben, this was a weird week just for news overall, from planes getting shot down to trouble in the Middle East to the All-Star Game and Home Run Derby, which are the most pointless pieces of sporting event that exist on Earth. And I love baseball, you know, and I think most people know that baseball is my first sports love. But I'm sorry, the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game are pointless and boring and serve no purpose. And the fact that we had to listen to Idina Menzel sing two different songs, and the fact that her national anthem, I think I tweeted like 8 times during her national anthem, and that should not happen. That song should be 30 seconds. Hers was like 6 minutes.
I could have made a pizza in the time.
I mean, it was ridiculous. And the song she sang beforehand, great. Yeah, you want to do something nice for the teachers, I get it. But Jesus Christ, what a boring-ass song. Was it pretty? Kind of. Was it boring? Oh, God, yes, was it boring.
You didn't even need to have it. It's just like, let's start the fucking game already.
If you really wanted to start the game off with a snoozer, success, Major League Baseball. Way to send Bud Selig out with a bang at his last All-Star game. Let's pick a female crooner to sing a love song to America's teachers before playing a meaningless baseball game. Bravo, sir.
It's technically not meaningless because of advantage in the World Series.
Bullshit. It's meaningless. The better team in the World Series will win whether they get 4 games at home or not. And I firmly believe that, and I always have. It's a bullshit game that is really... And the fact that they let the fans pick... is another just proof that it's a sham. It's a sham of a game. It's just total nonsense. However, our Brewers represented themselves very nicely.
Yes, they did. Jonathan Lucroy, 2-for-2, 2 RBIs.
Aramis Ramirez with a nice base hit and some nice defensive plays. So, you know, all in all...
Frankie Rodriguez with the scoreless inning.
Yeah, Frankie. And, I mean, Carlos Gomez, I don't know what's going on in that guy's head lately, but he's been a nightmare the last week or so. Just booting balls left and right and terrible at the plate. So we'll exclude him from the All-Star game, because if nothing else, people seem to enjoy watching his antics that you and I get to see all the time.
I'll tell you the one thing that kind of irritated me, though.
What's that?
And, you know, regardless of the Brewers being my team, I've always been a huge Derek Jeter fan. I'll admit that to the day I die. He's probably my favorite player in all of baseball. That said, I'm not taking this out on him. I'm taking this out on Fox. And I found this video. They literally said his name over 100 times during the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, but we knew that was going to happen, though, right?
But you want to know how many times they mentioned Tony Gwynn?
Zero times. Yeah,
zero times.
That was big news this week, too, and I mean...
That's what irritated me.
It bothered me right away at the time. Like, even before the news got out about it, I was wondering. By about the third inning, I was like, how come they haven't talked about Tony Gwynn yet? And then, you know, the next day it was a big hoopla. I mean... People like you and I, Ben, who follow baseball so closely, noticed, well, probably within the first couple innings, that we were like, well, how come there's nothing for Tony Gwynn? And so, yeah, that is a little bothersome. That's a little, when one of the greatest players of your sport passes away just weeks before, and you do nothing, not even a moment of silence, that's sort of a big old mushroom stamp in your eye.
Not even like a 10-second remembrance on the screen or something. You can't
Again,
even have that.
You could have just had a moment of silence, and that would have been enough. You could have just said, please, let's all take a moment of silence for 12-time All-Star Tony Gwynn. But no, we just moved on, and it was Derek Jeter time. I also, just before we move on from this, I also love that Cardinals fans got all pissed off the night of the World Series all over, or the night of the World Series, the All-Star game on Twitter, because they felt like Jonathan Lucroy was setting up what's-his-face to fail.
Oh, that, Wainwright.
Yeah.
Adam
okay,
yeah.
And then the next day, Wainwright says, well, no, I gave Jeter a meat pitch. I intentionally gave him a garbage pitch. And I was like, once again, only proving that Cardinals fans are the classiest, most level-headed, reasonable sports fans on in America, by far. They never jump to conclusions. They never assume that their guy did anything wrong. It's always someone else's fault. I hate you, St. Louis. I hate the Cardinals. I hate their fans. I hate the St. Louis Cardinals. Everything about them infuriates me.
Not to mention all the fans who are like, well, we hope Jonathan Lucroy tears his ACL because he's, you know, making our pitcher look bad.
Yeah.
No, it's your pitcher making himself look
bad.
Yeah,
He admitted to the fact that it was his fault, and they still think that Lucroy was intentionally trying to sabotage him.
And
it's just like, wow.
And you know what's the most hilarious thing about the whole All-Star game, too? Is the fact that all 5 runs that the AL scored were off of Cardinal pitching.
Yeah.
And all 3 runs that the NL scored were because of the Brewers.
Also true. So, you know, suck it, St. Louis. Moving on from that. I'm over that.
But, yes,
I just wanted to touch on it because I think it is a huge waste of time, although the All-Star break, I think, is very necessary when you have a 162-game season. So,
I think the Home Run Derby is less useful than
the Home Run Derby is stupid. They just need to, they need to cancel it. It's dumb. Nobody watches it or cares.
It's like the Pro Bowl. Nobody
cares
about the Pro Bowl.
I haven't watched an NFL Pro Bowl since I was maybe 14 years old. Because, again, that's another pointless game. It doesn't serve a purpose. No one cares who wins or loses. It's irrelevant. And I think that the All-Star game for baseball is completely irrelevant. I just, you know, and they're trying to do the Home Run Derby because in the NBA, the dunk contest, that's actually the only thing I watch of the NBA anymore is I'll watch the slam dunk contest because I do enjoy that. But the Home Run Derby isn't fun, especially if you don't get the biggest home run hitters in the game, which they don't. For God's sake, Todd Frazier was in the final with 1 home run.
Yeah, like, did anybody really think Todd Frazier was going to beat Yoenis Cespedes?
No.
Let's be honest here.
And then Todd Frazier made him go first, and I just went, well, this is going to just suck.
That final should have been Cespedes versus Stanton, but it wasn't, so...
If at least Frazier would have gone first, the Home Run Derby would have been over a solid 20 minutes sooner. That's just reality. It would have been over so much faster. I digress terribly, but while we're talking about baseball, Ben, I'd like to give myself a quick plug. Starting tomorrow is the baseball site that I write for, The Hall of Very Good. We begin our inductions for 2014, so if you feel so inclined and you want to read some wonderful baseball content, interviews with some great players who weren't good enough to get into the Hall of Fame but are good enough for us, goddammit, you can also look for my interview with the San Diego Padres chicken. That's a real thing that happened. And I also, Ben, you'll be happy to hear this, I have been asked personally by one of the inductees to dust off the Mustache Facts. So Mustache Facts will be back for one time only per this gentleman's request, which was an incredible honor, but also I just felt so silly about it. But Mustache Facts will be back next week. So there you go.
I am looking forward to it. I will certainly check that out.
Indeed. Go ahead.
And news not related to baseball before we start.
Sure.
This past week, we almost had World War III happen.
Yeah, that's real. I'm glad that you appreciate... I don't think you and I ever even talked about this. I'm glad that you understand how serious that plane getting shot down is, because I feel like most people don't truly fathom the reality of what that incident indicates, which is that... This is one of those things that could very easily lead to a world war. Very easily.
Not only that, but then you have Israel attacking Hamas in the Middle East. It's just like, oh my God, what's going on that side of the world?
100 like, of the top AIDS researchers in the world were on that plane. 100 of them. 100 of the greatest minds about the HIV virus are now dead. And the reality is that the United Nations is doing what they should do, which is they're taking this slowly because they don't have enough information to know exactly what happened yet, and I appreciate that they're not jumping the gun because I can almost guarantee that if a certain G.W. Bush Jr. was still the president, we already would be at war. I can guarantee that this would already be a done deal. But luckily, smarter people are in office now in all countries, and we're taking our time and making sure that we don't do anything that we'll all regret later.
Honestly, I don't think it would matter who's in office, at least in the U.S. I don't think it would matter who is Bush or Obama. I don't think it would.
I think in this sort of instance it does, because the track records show that George W. Bush historically flew off the handle a lot about military things, whereas Mr. President Obama seems to be a little more diligent about them. He does his homework before just saying we're going to war a day later. So I think it does matter, but I'm glad that our president doesn't have the say in this. For that, I'm very thankful, because we shouldn't. It should be everyone's decision, because, like, Denmark lost, you know, 200 people, and, like, there are other countries that this should bother way more than us.
Yeah, and it's just kind of scary that with all the stuff that's happening in the Ukraine and Russia, what that could possibly lead to, because Russia, like, in the past years, I don't even want to say, like, years, I want to say, like, maybe, like, a decade, has really been kind of teetering on that alliance with the U.S., and it's just, that's the one, aside from China, I think Russia is probably the one country in the world the U.S. does not want to go to war with.
Yeah, and that's just because of sheer volume. That's just because of how many people live in Russia. But the reality is that Russia is not financially sound enough to really, to finance a full-scale war. So, I mean, that's the good news for us, is that Putin probably, for all the crap that I give that guy, he's smart enough to know that in a war with United Nations countries, he would never survive. So I'd like to think that he's smart enough to know that. It's just, when that news first broke, and they said that a plane just went down, I was like, oh, God, poor Malaysia Airlines, they're just having the worst luck. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, it was actually shot down, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. I was like, this is so bad. And
regardless, Malaysian Airlines is not having a good year.
Yeah, either way, they're having some really rough luck right now. Tell you what, I wouldn't fly Malaysian Air right now if they charged me $1 for a flight anywhere in the world. That's just reality. Those are statistics. A plane disappearing and then a plane getting shot down over the span of, you know, 6 months, that's a really bad track record.
Granted, the second one's not really on them.
Actually, I mean, at least from what I understand, the pilots of that flight were advised to stay out of Ukrainian airspace. But again, we don't know enough facts still. They're still, because of how little information we're getting from the people of the Ukraine, because of the fact that the Ukrainian rebels are literally sealing off the crash site, they're not letting anyone in or out, it's all just sort of a guess at this point. We just don't know enough. So that's why I'm glad that everyone is just sort of staying level. We're not flying off the handle, making decisions that we don't fully understand yet. So bravo to the United Nations for keeping their cool for now, but I still think that this is going to have long-term ramifications in the shaping of the Middle East / all the Russian shit break-offs.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, people listening, audience out there, just keep an eye on it, because I'm not saying it's going to evolve, but it's definitely not at a point where it's just going
to
cease
automatically. It's something that we all need to be aware of, especially our generation, Ben. It's something that we all need to be aware of because it impacts our generation more so than anyone else's. Because if there is a war that happens, our generation, we will be the ones fighting that war. So it's something that we need to be aware of. So anyways, let's move to something a little lighter. We've been Debbie Downer so far, Ben.
One thing before we do, sure. we did get a new country to view us this week.
I saw that. You tell the people who it was. I was very excited.
Well, we had 22 views in the past week, 21 of them coming from the United States. We had one that came from Bulgaria.
Yeah, Bulgaria. Welcome to the game, Bulgaria. Thank you for your continued support of our show, Bulgaria. I also saw that, and I just could not think of any reason why a Bulgarian would be tuning in, but I will also not look a gift horse in the mouth. So,
I mean, we're still missing some countries on here. I mean,
yeah, we're still really small in Canada, which I can't quite figure out, but we're blowing up in England. I assume that thanks to Lee and his countrymen, would be my guess.
We're also really popular in Denmark.
Yeah, I noticed that too, the Danish people.
Yeah, our top five countries are United States, United Kingdom, Denmark, France, and Korea.
Well, I know why we're big in Korea. So that one, that mystery assault. Hi, Chris. My roommate from college and best pal is a teacher in South Korea, and I believe that he listens to the podcast every so often. So that's where our Korea is coming in. But other than that, I have no idea. I don't know why these other people are listening.
So India, Japan, rest of Europe, you got to step up your game.
Yeah, you guys really need to start listening to more News Chew. But this is a great segue because the country that listens to us the second most is going to be our first story in a new segment that I like to call the historical News Chew. Ben, I'd like to think that this story that I somehow stumbled upon this week, that if we were doing the News Chew in 1814, this would have been the story of the year. As the legend goes, on October 16th, 1814, an iron hoop, which was one of several holding together a 7-meter-tall vat of beer, gave way. The huge tank burst, upending another vessel and the equivalent of 2.5 million pints of beer rushed out of the building. Now, the exact death toll is uncertain, but it ranges anywhere from 3 to 63, depending on what things you read or notes that you find. Supposedly, based off of a map of old England, the beer literally covered almost an entire city block in up to 3 feet of beer. Now, Ben, that's the kind of national tragedy that I want to get involved in. But I thought this was an interesting story because they do, in England, apparently, they do call it the Great Beer Flood of 1814, which I think is kind of awesome. Because what good is a flood if it's not nothing but beer?
I feel like in that kind of sense, people start getting out barrels and whatnot. If that happened today,
yeah.
People just get out barrels and start looting.
I don't even know if it's really looting. I don't even think it's looting. I think people just start filling up stuff with beer and getting it off the streets.
But then again, my issue with that would be, if it's on the streets, how sanitary is it then?
Trust me, in 1814 in England, Ben, I don't think that was really something they were concerned about.
If it happened today.
Oh, if it happened today, yes. People would be all hoity-toity about it. Oh, there are sticks in my beer, and things like that, and so what? Drink the beer. It was probably delicious. An interesting story. I mean, you think about, if that happened today, I would like to think that we'd have the means to clean it up and casualties would be minimal. But they weren't even sure how many people died because of it. It ranged from they confirmed 3 for sure died as a direct result of the events of that day. But up to 63 people died over the coming days in that area.
Well, no, those are the ages.
Oh, those are the ages?
Yes, they ranged in age from 3 to 63.
Oh, so was there...
It did kill a teenager... But it's unknown how many people were killed altogether.
Oh, I thought the 3 to 63... Oh, you're right. It does say in age. I thought it ranged in death toll from 3 to 63. Okay. So, I mean, if you're a 63-year-old person in 1814 England, you should be lucky you made it that far.
Back then, if you made it past 30...
Yeah, back then the life expectancy couldn't have been much more than 35 or 40. So, if you were already 63, what a way to go out.
Was this the era of the bubonic plague, or was that a little bit later?
No, I think it was a little bit before.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you exactly when, but I think that was before this.
Either way, congrats on making it.
Yeah, either way, I mean, good job. So apparently at that time, it was estimated that $23,000 worth of beer had gone to waste. There's no extrapolation for what that would be today, but you think about... In the 1800s, $23,000, or pounds, whatever, because it's England, I'm sorry, folks, pounds. That is an incredible amount of money, I'd imagine, by today's standards.
Could you imagine being, like, the husband or the wife of somebody that got killed in this, and the police just come to your door saying, ma'am, sir, we have terrible news.
They show up at your door with a pint of beer.
Your spouse was killed in a flood of beer.
They show up, and it's a pint of beer with, the guy's hat on it. And they're just like, I'm sorry. And they hand her the beer with the hat on it.
She starts drinking, and she goes, no. She's about to drink it.
And then she's like, oh, but this is delicious. This is good beer. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. That made its way onto my lap this week, and I just thought it was kind of funny. a beer flood. That's sort of like my wildest dream in a lot of ways.
You know who could have really profited from a beer flood?
Who's that, Ben?
Our guy in number two.
All right. Our guy in number two?
Our guy in story number two. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to wake up.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, a Des Moines, Iowa man was arrested last Friday after he didn't have the money to pay for his $36 tab at the bar. So instead, he offered his gun. So what happened was the bartender told him that his card was declined. So the guy handed him a gun instead. He wasn't trying to rob the place. He was just trying to trade his gun in for the tab. And that didn't fly. And so yeah, I can't imagine why that wouldn't have worked.
I don't get it. I took my gun out of my pocket. I slid it across the bar. And everybody freaked out.
So what happened was the bartender told the guy to return the next day to pay the tab and get his gun, but the guy became belligerent. He didn't want to do that, and he was thrown into jail with public intoxication. He's been released since, and his gun has been confiscated along with his weapons permit. So, I mean, at least he wasn't trying to rob the place.
Yeah, so,
I mean, give it that.
It's a step in the right direction. I think it's funny that they took away his firearms permit, like that'll stop him from getting a gun in our country. Oh no, not my permit. Like, great, you give him a fine and you take away his permit. He already has another gun. I don't know, what day did this story happen? Like, Monday or Tuesday? He already has, like, three or four guns by now.
Like, the thing is, too, I mean, in his mind, his gun's worth a lot more than $36. I can guarantee you that.
Well, any gun, unless it's like a cap gun. I mean, if it's an actual gun, yeah, it's probably, you know, 10 times more. Guns are expensive.
And you figure the ammo, too?
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it's certainly, you know, the bar's getting the sweeter end of that deal. But at the same time, contrary to popular belief, guns are not a form of currency in the U.S. of A.
And you know what fucking kills me about this story? Is it says that a weapons permit is not valid, I'm sorry, let me redo that.
All right.
A weapons permit in Iowa is not valid while the carrier is intoxicated. Really? No shit.
Okay, but does that stop the person from shooting someone else while they're intoxicated?
Well, no, but...
So that's pointless. Why they would even put that on there or, like, even have to justify that is the stupidest crap ever. Iowa, really are doing some Florida-y things here.
But really, that's against the law? No shit, I would have figured that'd be against the law.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's just like a waste of ink. Like, seriously, do we really need to outline this? Is that not just sort of one of those things that we should take for granted, you know, as not stupid?
I mean, let's look at it this way. Yes, the man was stupid for offering his gun, but at least he had the best of intentions by actually offering up a form of payment.
Yeah, I mean, at least he didn't just take his card back and go, oh, that's weird, let me try another card, and then run out of there. So, I mean, you know, it's but at the same time, it's kind of like, when the guy doesn't want your gun, the last thing you should be doing is throwing a temper tantrum, because, again, guns are not legal tender here in the U.S. of A.
And, I mean, in the very least, he was giving the bartender a way to defend himself. I don't know.
Yeah, well, but, yeah, and then you give the bartender your gun. Now what are you going to do? Now the bartender's just going to pull the gun on you and be like, pay for your drinks, bitch. Sorry, I watched Breaking Bad this morning, so...
I was gonna say...
Sorry, that's my bad. Normally I would never say such things to a bar patron.
but Jesse Pinkman would.
But anyways, so... The guy had the best of intentions, he's just kind of a doofus. Right? Can we agree on that? Best of intentions, but just kind of a stupid.
Yeah, Iowa, you pulled a Florida, like Lou said this week.
Yeah, you're really tiptoeing on some thin Florida ice there. They don't have ice in Florida, so it's super duper thin.
But you have to wonder why the bartender didn't take the gun and then just sell it, because he would have made a lot more than $36.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine, I mean, I don't even if it's just like a crappy little handgun, I mean, those are at least a couple $100, so... But again, what is he going to do? Go to a pawn shop later? Pay out of pocket for this guy's bar tab? Go to a pawn shop, sell a gun that doesn't belong to him, that isn't registered to him? That doesn't work that way, I don't think. I don't think a pawn shop will just buy a gun, a random gun. I don't think it goes down like that.
Unless he goes to Pawn Stars and goes, yeah, Because I can give you $5 for this.
Yeah, because you don't own it, I can give you 30 cents for this. And then, you know, and then you're screwed. So I definitely understand not accepting a gun.
He walks away from it. He goes, it's less than I thought I would get for it, but hey, I got it for free, so I'll take the 30 cents. That's every episode of Pawn Stars,
yeah.
Basically.
Hey, Ben, you know what makes me wish? That someone would give me a gun in a bar?
Pawn Stars?
Yeah, that's the right answer, too. But our next story.
Oh.
I'll just read the headline, and that'll tell you all you need to know. The toaster selfie has arrived, and it's amazing. Now, I disagree with the last part of the headline, but you can now upload a selfie into your toaster, and the toaster will toast your likeness onto your bread. Chef? I don't know. I don't even know what to say now. I like this story, but I'm confused about why this is a thing that we need.
Is it bad? The first thing I thought of was if you had a picture of a woman on there and you just started spreading butter on it, that would just be the worst case scenario.
That actually is the funniest, like, that's the funniest situation you could have, is toasting a woman's face on it and then covering her in jam. no, this is weird. This is so fucking weird. I'm sorry, but this is one of those things that, like, this takes narcissism to a whole nother level. It's bad enough that we're so obsessed with selfies that people are going to, like, Auschwitz in Germany and taking selfies at Auschwitz, or going to the house where Anne Frank was found and killed and taking selfies there. I think that, when I started hearing stories like that, that was where I was like, boy, our narcissism in America has just gone through the roof.
That's one word, if I never had to hear it for the rest of my life, I'd be fine.
Which one?
Selfie.
Yeah, I hate it. And you know what? I really, because when you sent me this story, Ben, it was from the Metro, which is a British tabloid. I was really not tabloid, that's not the right word, just newspaper. I was so relieved that we didn't make it. And then sure enough, by the second paragraph, a Vermont-based firm, and I just went, oh, man, come on.
Damn it, Vermont.
God damn it, Vermont. Did you really need more stuff to put your maple syrup on? Yeah, damn it. I do like that they put V up from V for Vendetta on there in the picture. That kind of makes me laugh. Sorry for the yawn, everybody. That's just reality. I do like the V from V for Vendetta, or the Guy Fawkes mask, I'm sorry, for those of you who prefer the historical context. But this is dumb. This is a waste of money. This is something that we don't need, and it just goes to show that America, fuck yeah.
And if you do decide to get one out there, they're $75. So
yeah, you can buy a toaster for like $20, or you can pay $75 and you can make News Chew imprint toast. You can I'll send you a picture of Ben and I. You can put us on your toast every morning if that's what you need to do to get your day started. I'll understand. But if you're putting your own face on there and then you're eating yourself, that's sort of deranged. And
you got 99 problems, and this toast is probably fucking all of them.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking all of them, especially if you're putting like pictures of people you've had sex with on the toast. Now we got a real problem, Ben.
Whoa.
Because now you are fucking all your problems away with dry, crispy toast.
Technically, you're eating your problems away.
Yeah, that's true enough. I like the one with Bill Clinton, too. That's classy. That's who I would probably want on all my toasts. It's Bill Clinton.
Not Ron Swanson?
Oh, that'd be good, too, but I'd feel bad for eating Ron Swanson. I feel like I was doing him a disservice, because he'd never do that to me. Because he'd feel like that was
that's
unnecessary.
True.
I don't think Ron Swanson even eats bread, or toasted, for that matter.
I'm sure he eats bread, because he eats, like, hamburgers and stuff.
I don't know.
I mean, besides his dietary needs of just, you know, plain meat and steak.
Cool. You know what? You know who doesn't have to worry about putting a picture of themselves on toast, Ben?
Who is that?
Story number 3. That was a great segue. One of my best in a long time. There you go. And this takes place in my former state of residence and Northwest correspondent Don Pitch's state of residence, Lakewood, Washington. A toothless man gave his roommate's arm a serious gumming after she refused to clean his ear. For those of you who are not familiar, gumming would be the equivalent of biting, but you just don't have teeth. So a toothless dude bit his friend, or gnawed on his friend, I guess, is probably more appropriate, because his friend wouldn't clean out his ears. Ben, you've never gummed anyone, or asked someone else to clean your ears. How do you take this?
With a few sugars and some cream.
Good answer. Because fluid is probably the only thing that you can get in your pie hole when you have no teeth.
But honestly, though, it's just weird because, like, I mean, I guess if the man has no arms, he can't grab a weapon, or if he has no legs, he can't kick. So, and he has no teeth, obviously, so we can't bite. So I guess his next option out of all those would be to gum somebody. So if it works, it works. But it's definitely the weirdest way I've thought to get somebody's attention and or assault somebody.
Well, it did.
Not that I recommend assault.
I mean, it didn't work. Because when you don't have teeth, how do you inflict any sort of pain? She didn't clean his ears. He went to jail. So I would say that his thought process on, I think I'll just gum her to death, was flawed and pointless.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's very unsanitary. Because instead of this guy has no teeth, there's a reason why he has no teeth.
Right, and it's probably not due to his, you know, it's not because he's taken really good care of his mouth over all these.
And it's not because he's playing hockey on a regular basis.
I'm going to go with no. So, you know, I guess what is puzzling about this story is, had his friend ever cleaned his ears before? And if so, why didn't she want to on this particular occasion? Because that's a request that you make of someone that you're very comfortable with. Like, you and I are very good friends. We've shared a lot of moments together, and I think we're very comfortable together. But Ben, and I don't want you to take this personally, but I don't think that you and I are close enough where I would ask you to clean out my ears for me. Is that fair?
Yeah, very fair. I would never. I'm sorry, Lou, you're a good friend of mine, but I would never clean your ears.
No, and I wouldn't expect you to. Now, if it was my wife, this is a different situation. Family member, different situation. But, you know, if this is just, like, a pal, you know, or a girl that you know, because it didn't make it seem like they were dating or anything like that. It's just a female friend.
No, it's his roommate.
Oh, it's his roommate. Okay, so his female roommate, and he just tried to gnaw on her. And again, you know, we talk about this a lot with stupid criminals, but, like, what was your end game? Like, what did you hope to accomplish or convince her of by gumming her? It sounds awful and disgusting. Like, I can sort of almost even visualize what it would feel like. If you just touch your gums a little, you'll get the gist of what gumming entails. And I just don't understand what he thought was going to be accomplished with this attack plan.
And, I mean, he did more than just gum her. What he did was he pushed her down to the floor. He bit her wrist, which apparently he still didn't have. I mean, obviously he doesn't have his teeth. But apparently the pressure from the gum still hurt her wrist. And then he choked her before pouring water all over her and damaging her hearing aid.
That's a fun part of the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's you didn't think the gumming was the only
thing. And, you know, so she already has pre-existing ear problems. You would think that she would, you know, that she would be willing to help a brother out in his time of need.
Unless it was just so disgusting that, I mean, even if you burned it, still wouldn't make it better.
Yeah, it's funny, and I've been to Lakewood, Washington before. That it's a real place. I've been there. It does have some areas that are less than savory, Ben. They are less than savory. But I certainly never thought that something like that would happen. Especially when you don't have teeth. If you don't have teeth, biting is off the table. Can we just come to a consensus on that too, Ben? If you don't have teeth, biting is not a line of defense that you are able to use. So why are you even attempting it?
You know, and it said that it happened in a mobile home park. So can we just make speculations, not assume, make speculations that maybe this probably isn't the best mobile home park?
I think that speculation at this point is the nicest way to say that trailer park is a shithole.
Meth involved, probably?
Maybe. They certainly aren't producing meth, but they've probably dabbled. They've probably dabbled.
I'm assuming the man did with the no teeth.
Yeah, the no teeth doesn't help. The no teeth could be a lot of drugs, actually. That could also be, you know, heroin, or he could have been rubbing too much cocaine on his teeth. Who knows? The point is, if you don't have teeth, come up with a new attack strategy. You got fingernails, don't you? You got fists and feet to kick with. What's up with the trying to bite with stuff you don't have?
Or you know what he could do that would make even more sense?
What's that?
He could just use his hand, pick up a Q-tip, and clean his own ear.
Ah, now, Ben, what you've touched on here is what you and I like to call logic, which is, of course, the thought process by which most human beings think. You use your brain to deduce, boy, what I'm about to do is fucking stupid. But that guy obviously did not. Again, I don't think I want someone else cleaning my ears either. Because they can puncture your eardrum if they jam it in there too far.
Or they can miss a spot that you know.
Yeah, see? I mean, who knows your ear like more better than you? Who knows the inner workings of your ear better than you do?
Exactly. I mean, when you're working with your ear, you know how far in to go. You know where to twist and turn and to get all the stuff. I mean, that sounded really wrong.
It did sound really gross, Ben. What you just said was very perverted. You didn't mean for it to be, but out of context,
no.
If we just did that as like a drop in later episodes, it'd probably be really funny because it sounds super gross.
Okay, with a Q-tip, when you're twisting and turning inside the ear,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes you know how far down to go with a Q-tip without puncturing the eardrum. If, you know, maybe if she was kind of mad at him, she would have punctured his eardrum, then they'd both have hearing aids.
Hooray! They could be hearing lost twinsies.
Can they take a selfie with it?
Maybe.
That's what he did. He threw it down, bit her wrist, poured water, and then took a selfie.
And then took a selfie and was like, gumming it up.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I would like to think happened.
I'm pretty sure that it was probably something like that, but see, based off of this trailer park in the description, selfie probably means that he took, like, an old disposable camera that he had from, like, 1994, where you have to wind it up, and he took one of those and held it back. But he's still got, like, 6 pictures left, so he has to wait to get it developed.
Which, with him being in jail, I don't think that's going to happen ever soon, because he was charged with assault and malicious mischief.
Oh, yeah, it was malicious, all right. As malicious as a toothless 18-year-old dog. Pretty beastly, that guy. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley.
Now, have you ever been to Lakewood?
Yeah, I've been to Lakewood before. I'm familiar with the area.
And do you have citizens walking around with no teeth, biting other people on the wrists, pushing them down, throwing water on them?
You know, Ben, something that you may not know about the greater sort of Seattle area is that there's Seattle, then you go farther south, and there's Tacoma, Washington, and then farther south is Olympia, Washington. And all of those are big, beautiful, you know, cities. But when you go about 20 miles in any direction from any of those three cities, you literally go from the pinnacle of Western civilization to dueling banjos country at the drop of a hat. You go from Minority Report to Deliverance in a 15-minute car ride. It's stunning. And you wouldn't believe it unless you had seen it with your own eyes, and I have. And Don can come on sometime and confirm that for you. 20 miles in any direction from one of those three major cities is redneck, diehard Republican, just crazy nutbar, dueling banjo type folks. So Lakewood, unfortunately, is kind of on, like, in the middle. It's sort of, it's in that limbo area where it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit country and it's a little bit rock and roll, Ben. Ha-ha! You see what I did there?
I do.
Yeah, I guess you did there. So I don't know, it's not a great place. It's not a place where, like, you go just, you know, when you need a break. So, you know, it's outside of Tacoma. I mean, Lakewood is, like, I think it's south of Tacoma. If my geography serves me correctly, I believe that it is south. It's right by the McCord Air Force Base, which is one of the biggest air force bases in the country. if I'm remembering correctly. But I think that's right. I think I'm remembering that right. So,
I think you might remember that more correctly than our next story.
Oh, go on.
So, story number 5. Reporter stopped by TSA agent who didn't know the District of Columbia is in the U.S. So, and surprise, surprise, this comes out of Orlando, Florida.
Shocking.
Right? As the story starts, it's something most students learn in elementary school. The United States is made up of 50 states and the District of Columbia. But a reporter from Channel 9 in Orlando found out that a TSA agent in a Florida airport did not know that Washington, D.C. Was in the U.S. And I want to take a moment of silence to recognize this man's stupidity.
Nope, he doesn't get it. That's more than...
Okay, he doesn't get it. Okay.
I wish that I was more surprised by this, because I feel like that this should be surprising to me. But, like, these people are in charge of keeping us from getting blown up. They don't even know the geography of their own country. So, I'm trying to keep my rage bottled up right now. I'm having a really hard time, though, because this fills me with furious anger. Just seething, blind rage that a government employee whose sole job it is to keep us safe in the air doesn't know that the District of Columbia is a part of the United States.
Did you just know you made a Pulp Fiction reference, by the way?
No, it's technically a Bible verse, but yeah, same difference. Great vengeance and furious anger, those who beset upon my brothers, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I've seen the movie. But it's an actual...
It's Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's a Bible verse. But either way, regardless, I feel like Sam Jackson right now. I'm filled with the type of rage that has made Sam Jackson a movie star. Because if I can't trust Florida to be itself on the ground, now I just can't trust them to be in the air either.
Like, we've had a lot of asinine stories come out of Florida. We really have. This, I honestly think, has to be near the top.
That's a bold statement.
Well, bear with me here. Only because it's near the top for me, at least, because if you have these people who are government workers, let's get this straight. The TSA are government workers.
Correct.
And they don't know that the District of Columbia, where the government is in America, honestly scares me, because the man, the reporter, handed the agent his driver's license, and the agent said that he did not recognize the license. And fair, I mean, all licenses do not look the same. But still, it will say his residence, where he lives, and probably the words D.C. on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can actually see a picture of his driver's license. It definitely says Washington, D.C. right on there.
And if you can't get more American than Washington, D.C., I have... Whoa, man. You've got more problems than the dude who tries to bite people with no teeth.
I don't even know if it's a problem. It's embarrassing. Like, if nothing else, it's just humiliating.
And what's hilarious about this is that a TSA spokesman later contacted the reporter and said he confirmed that a District of Columbia license is an acceptable form of ID. Oh, so it's now acceptable.
Oh, thank goodness. Before. Here's the other thing. All right, so you get the driver's license and you're looking at it, and let's say even for a second you're like, oh, this guy's from Columbia, like the country Columbia. His name is Justin Gray. He has the whitest name on fucking earth. Justin Gray is this dude's name. What is confusing about that? Like,
well, even if he was from Colombia, I mean, then you would ask for his passport, and you would still be able to tell that it's somewhere else. You'd still say that's a valid license. The guy said he doesn't recognize the license. It's not a valid license. Then have somebody else come over and look at it. It's not that hard. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the guy has one of the whitest names in the United States of America. And you just cannot recognize that the District of Columbia is in your own fucking backyard?
You know, and they bring up a good point in the article, and they talk about, you know, these people are trained to detect fraudulent, you know, documents. Okay, awesome. I get that. I'm totally cool with that. But, like, what about that led you to believe that it was fraudulent? If the only reason that this particular TSA agent thought it was fraudulent was because he was ignorant and didn't have a brain cell in his head, that is fucking unacceptable. That person really should be fired. I know that that is sort of rough and harsh, but if your job is to keep the people of the United States safe, but you're not sure what that entails, you can't have that job. That's just how it works. You can't pull a Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and become a lawyer just because you watched an episode of Law and Order in the bar with the sound off last night. That isn't how shit works. If you don't know that the District of Columbia is in the United States, you can't be expected to protect the United States because you don't know what the fuck is inside of it.
Like, the thing that really astounds me is how did this man even get his job in the first place?
Yeah, don't you have to take some sort of geography test?
Yeah, if you don't know where the fuck D.C. is, how are you going to know where, I don't know, Hoedunk, Mississippi is? I mean, it's one thing after another, and it's just like, if he doesn't know where certain places are, especially the District of Columbia, if he has no idea where that is, how is he a TSA agent? How? How do we allow this to happen in this country?
I'm so mad now. Let's bring this home, but I'd like to read the very last sentence of this article, because I think that it really encapsulates what we've been talking about here. The last sentence reads, a TSA spokesman told Gray, who our boy Justin Gray, the whitest name on earth, that all of the TSA agents in Orlando are being shown copies of District of Columbia driver's licenses. If it is the first time that the TSA of Orlando, Florida has ever seen a District of Columbia driver's license, you all should be fired and you all should be replaced with fucking Disney characters.
And the airport should be shut down.
End of rant. If you are trying to tell me that the nation's capital has never had a single visitor to Disney World, I call shenanigans.
And here's the thing, though, is this comes off of Channel 9 News, I think, in Orlando. The guy fucking works for Channel 9. I'm sure they know who he is.
Just so stupid. It's just so mind-numbingly stupid.
Should we move on to story number 6?
Yes, we still have 2 more, so just pick one.
So, Philly Bridge. Okay, and with this one, we're going to stay in Florida for story number 6.
Oh, God. All right. I've been waiting for this one.
Oh, my God. So, this woman, you know the rap group Public Enemy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think she might be the new form of it, according to the first line of this story. Megan Barnes, a.k.a. Pubic Enemy,
gross,
is coming out with her debut album about Razor Sharp Focus.
I think it's just called Razor Sharp Focus.
It should be. So, the headline of this story is, woman crashes car while shaving her privates. 37-year-old Megan Barnes was driving one day and decided that at no other time in her life would there be a better portion of what she was doing during her day than to shave her genitalia while driving. I've heard of people, you know, eating while driving, texting while driving.
I've heard of people men shaving their faces, yeah, while driving.
Yeah, and women putting on makeup while sure, driving. But to do this while driving?
Look,
there is not one good thing that can come from that at all.
I'm never going to fault a lady for keeping her downstairs groomed. That is a personal life choice, and it sucks. So I applaud her for her dedication to keeping shit maintained down below. The part of this story, Ben, that I feel like should have more emphasis on it is that the reason that she got pulled over was because she was swerving. The reason she was swerving was because she was going to meet her boyfriend, which is why she was shaving the pubes, the short and curlies, and her ex-husband was in the passenger seat. So her ex-husband was watching her shave her pubes while he was trying to steer the car and she was trying to man the pedals.
While going to see her boyfriend.
While on her way to see her boyfriend. That shit can only happen in Florida. There's no other place on Earth where something like this can truly occur in nature.
So does it surprise you that Miss Barnes was charged with driving with a revoked license, which is not surprising to me, reckless driving, leaving the scene of an accident with injuries, and with no insurance? Because she did, yes, get into an accident, surprise, surprise. She crashed into the rear of an SUV, on the highway, and
she got a DUI the day before this happened.
And I'm not any bit surprised in any fucking sense of the word surprised at all. I'm not.
Literally, the day before this happened, she got a DUI. Awesome.
I mean, I'm just beyond the point with Florida. Just, I don't question it anymore. I'm just like, okay, that's the way it is down there. Let's talk about it. Because questioning it, asking their motives as to why, how, what, that's not going to get anything solved. Because progress with Florida and trying to understand them is just fucking out the window. It's not going to happen. Let's just make that plain and clear right now. That's just never going to happen.
I think it's hilarious that one of the police officers said, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have believed it. You're right. Like, I almost can't believe that this happened. I almost don't believe it, but enough eyewitnesses were there, enough people saw it, so it must have gone down.
And what's fucking hilarious is, according to the arrest affidavit, the trooper asked her after why she didn't hit the brakes when she saw the SUV. She answered bluntly, "I told you I was shaving." So she just comes out and admits it, which, I mean, I guess...
I mean, good for her for just
That's the one silver lining, is she admitted to it, at least. She wasn't trying to hide it. Well, obviously, she couldn't have. But it's just like, she's like, yeah, I fucking did it, but, you know...
Well, and now the question is, what exactly, like, I guess, see, because to me there are different degrees of trimming your short and curlies. Was she going scorched earth? Was she doing a landing strip, an arrow, a heart? What do you suppose was the design or lack of design on this?
I don't want to think about it, to be fairly
honest.
Or
was it just keeping the general bushiness maintained? Because then I wonder, what is she using, like, an electric razor? Is she using a straight razor while she's driving? I would be horrified to do that near my...
Maybe she's making the Florida Panhandle, I don't know.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. A sweet Florida Panhandle right over your cooter?
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the one question I want to know, I want answered, and maybe it won't be answered because we probably will never know, is... When she eventually would, if say she would have gotten through this, wouldn't have crashed, and gotten to her boyfriend's house, what the fuck does the ex-husband do then?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be honest with you, fuck that guy. That guy's a fool anyways. If you're going to sit there and steer your ex-wife's car while she's shaving up her bush for another dude, your list of priorities is already pretty fucked, and I'm pretty sure that I don't need to know what you're going to do with the rest of your life, because it's just going to infuriate me.
What the hell is he doing there in the first place is what I want to know.
Well, and I mean, that's a whole nother... Again, that's a situation... Ben, you don't ever want to know the secrets of scary people. Haven't you ever heard that saying before?
I don't want to know the secrets... I don't want to know the secrets of Florida.
Yeah, you don't want to know the secrets of scary people, and most of Florida is scary people. So I think that in this particular situation, it's best to just leave it to the unknown, Ben. Just leave it to the imagination. Don't give in to your urge to want to know why the ex-husband is doing what he's doing. I imagine that if he was a good husband, they would probably still be married, and he wouldn't be driving her to meet her boyfriend while she's trimming up her hoochie-scoochie.
And not only that, but according to the arrest report, try saying that 5 times fast, it was the sixth time her license had been suspended.
She goes on a lot of dates, Ben. She goes on a lot of dates.
And that was from the DUI. That wasn't even from this. So she was already driving with a suspended license. a sixth time suspended license, might I add. I don't think I made that clear. A sixth time suspended license.
Awesome.
Why does she still have a license? After like the third dime, I would just take it away.
Yeah, I mean it seems quite preposterous.
Okay, we need to move on from this story, or else my blood pressure is going to shoot through the roof.
Yes, my blood pressure also. So let's bring home with, I mean, for how negative we've been today, Ben, this last story is actually kind of lighthearted, I guess, by the rest of the day's standards.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, as lighthearted as it gets, there's no violence or anything. So our final story this week is Belgian town blasts out music to drive away gypsies. Now, first of all, Ben, it's well documented that I love the gypsies. I've no beef with the gypsies. But I think that it's kind of funny that the goal of this country is that they're trying to get 14 caravans of gypsies out of their town. So they start playing music at 9 a.m. in the morning. And it just keeps playing all day. Ben, do you know of any other better ways to get rid of gypsies?
Yeah, I know of a lot of different ways to get rid of gypsies, and this is not one of them.
Now, were you aware that gypsies were still a thing?
I assume in some parts of Europe, yes, I just wasn't sure where.
I mean, 14 caravans of gypsies, that seems like a lot of gypsies.
Like, I mean, what if the problem is that it backfires, and they all start dancing to it, and they start liking it, and then now what do you do? You're like, well, shit, that plan didn't work, now what do we do?
The first song that they played to get the gypsies kicked out was Dire Straits' Sultan of Swing. So there you go. However,
I mean,
before that first song, most of the gypsy kids were just dancing, is what the story says, is that the gypsy children were just dancing around as the music played.
I mean, I get that it's a non-violent method, which is what the Belgian, I'm assuming, town wanted. Actually, it happened in Brussels, so the capital, which is what I'm assuming the mayor wanted to happen, was a non-violent means to get the gypsies out. But clearly, that's one of the ways it didn't work. I mean, maybe you blast, I don't know, a certain type of music.
I feel like death metal would be what would be the driving force to get the gypsies out.
You know, I would say the same thing, but what if these gypsies are actually the ones that really like death metal? Maybe blast country music, like twangy country music from like the fucking like 70s. That'll get anybody
out. Yeah, that'll wake somebody up.
Even country now, that'll get somebody out.
Yeah. But, you know, so, like I said, we had a lot of negativity on the show this week. But this is a much, at least for us, this is a much lighter story. You know, at least they took the peaceable route, too. You know, they didn't send in half-retarded Orlando TSA agents armed with selfie toasters, you know, to remove the gypsies by giving them gifts of selfie toasters.
And here's the funny thing about it, is that these gypsies thought it was a party, because the one person said, I want to thank the mayor. It's very nice that he sent a DJ for us to have a party. Which is fucking hilarious to me that the gypsies were just like, yeah, man, I'm digging this. But they did end up leaving later that week, because this happened on a Sunday, and they left by that Thursday. So
what did this teach us, Ben? Gypsies are afraid of music.
They were digging it, man.
Yeah. Or you know, turn it up and rip the knob off.
Or turn down for what?
Turn down for what? Oh, let me tell you a quick turn down for what story.
I still don't get that whole thing.
I don't either, but most people by now have heard the song or get the reference, okay? And I've never, like, Ben, I don't know if you know this, I'm really white and I know nothing of hip-hop. Well,
we're two in the same.
New hip-hop. I know enough about the early days of hip-hop to not be the whitest guy you know. But, so, my boss went golfing on Tuesday, and he went golfing at this golf course that isn't in a great neighborhood, but it's a really nice golf course down in Illinois. And he said that there were, like, three or four little black kids who were selling golf balls that had got hit over the fence into their, like, apartment complex. And so the guy that my boss was golfing with, he chipped in a shot with a 5-iron from about, 115. And the moment that the ball goes in the cup, all four of them scream out, "Turn down for what?" And they start dancing like crazy, he said. One of the little kids started beatboxing, and they just kept shouting, "Turn down for what?" And I was like, that is so funny to me. And I was like, I cannot believe that is not getting videotaped. Because I wonder if they do that in the summertime. Anytime somebody makes a good shot, they just shout out something like that. And my boss said that he literally couldn't play for like two more holes because he kept thinking about it and laughing. Because he said it was a chorus of four young black boys just shouting, "Turn down for what?" And then all of a sudden, one of them started beatboxing and they were all dancing. And he said it was amazingly funny. That's my turn down for what story, and I would have paid to have seen that crap.
They really should run that in a video.
I feel like on the next Tiger Woods video game, that should be what happens when you sink a huge shot. Just a bunch of kids jump out on the golf course and start singing "Turn Down for What." But all right, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, so I think we had a solid show.
Great show. Lots of stories this week, so we tried to kind of cram a lot in, but some good stuff. Ben, why
don't leave this episode depressed, please.
Yeah, I mean, we left on a good note. Turn down for what, everybody? Ben, why don't you let everybody know how they can find us?
All right, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can find us on Facebook with The News Chew, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can email us, newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. If you have story ideas, things that you want us to talk about on the show, we can do that. We'll check it out. So, yeah, be sure to tune in next week. And, Lou, do you have any parting words?
Turn down for what?